Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the second round of free speech. What does that mean? I don't know. But go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Operators are standing by. Mark Collett, welcome to the show.
Hello. We're a day late, but there's plenty to talk about with both the British general election and the French general election, and both producing similarly disappointing results, which are largely down to the broken nature of the system, which I think more and more people are now seeing, that this system was designed to lock certain groups out of power, and it was designed in a way that makes it extremely hard for even well-funded, well-liked celebrity candidates with serious backing to actually make meaningful breakthroughs that could alter the trajectory, or the political trajectory, of the country that those people are running for election. So whether it's France or Britain, the UK, we're seeing exactly the same thing. And that's actually quite depressing when you think about it. It's quite depressing to look at two countries going through exactly the same problems, both having a significant rally of support for so-called right-wing parties, but neither of those countries managing to get the change that people voted for. I don't know really where you want to start. I'm obviously more of an expert in the UK elections, but those elections have produced what is, in my opinion, a textbook example of why the first past the post liberal democracy that we have in Western countries is completely broken and is actually extremely unrepresentative of the will of the people.
Well, it's certainly unrepresentative in this case. You have some real anomalies. So for one, the Labour Party, led by Keir Starmer, has won, close to two-thirds of the seats. They won, 410 out of 650? Over 60% of the seats, with a mere, 33% of the vote?
33.7% of the vote. And people are
Their vote total, their vote was less than the vote that Jeremy Corbyn got, in 2017?
When it was 1.6% more in percentage terms and a million less in raw terms.
So compared to 2019 or 2017?
Compared to 2019.
Yeah, and compared to 2017, I think it was less in both terms.
Well, there you have it. And this tells you everything you need to know. We have what the press are calling a record majority for the Labour Party, but at the same time, when you look at the results, it's not a majority. What we actually have here is a situation where Labour have actually got 33.7% of the vote. It's obviously not a majority. And what you're actually witnessing is a minority government, that is unpopular, less popular than Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party. You know, fewer people turned out to vote for Starmer than they did for Corbyn. Yet, it has produced this record majority, which isn't actually a record majority. I believe it's the second highest parliamentary, haul for any party since the Second World War, following Blair. I mean, arguably the Thatcher majority in 1983 was more impressive because that was going into a second term. And obviously, as a second term, you expect a reduced majority. But either the way, however you put this, it is impressive. It's a huge number. But this huge number of seats is not backed up in any way by the number of votes or by the percentage share of the vote. And then the other big scandal is that Reform came third nationally in terms of share of the vote, but despite coming third nationally in terms of share of the vote, it only took five seats, whereas the Liberal Democrats, who came fourth nationally in share of the vote, have gone away with a massive 71 seats. And this tells you pretty much everything you need to know about Western liberal democracy. Western liberal democracy has been fashioned in such a way that it is absolutely not representative of the people in any way. It's grossly unfair, and it leaves millions and millions of people completely disenfranchised, despite them going out to vote. But I think that's not by accident. I believe that that is absolutely 110% by design. And now that Starmer has this majority, in the first 3 days of his power, the first day, they dropped any pretense of deporting illegal immigrants. So the Rwanda plan, and look, just for the record, we know the Rwanda plan was never going to work. We know it wasn't designed to work. We know it was a scam. Okay. But the fact is, there was the pretense of deportations. Well, day one, Friday, the moment he was elected, he officially said that's the end of the Rwanda plan. So all pretense of deportations was dropped immediately on him gaining power. The next day, the Monday, they already started talking about ripping up legislation that protected Greenland, forests, meadows, woodland, pasture land, so that they could build new houses. And today is the third day of their rule, third working day of their rule. And it's been announced that they are going to give citizenship to 100,000 illegal migrants currently who are going through the asylum system, which would conveniently be just about the right number of people to fill the 100,000 homes they've said they need to immediately build. And this tells you everything you need to know about Labour and the real objectives of that vile party. Now, I was somebody who absolutely wanted the Conservatives out of power. I still want the Conservatives out of power. They were absolutely rotten. But I'll tell you this, I didn't want to see Labour in power. What I was hoping for was a collapse of the two main parties for various reasons. And unfortunately, that didn't come about. And now we are facing or staring down the barrel this very unfortunate situation where a party that is more nakedly anti-white than the Conservatives, I'm not saying they are more anti-white, I'm saying more nakedly anti-white than the Conservatives, are in power, have this massive, massive majority, and are already wielding it in a way that is very, very bad for the British people.
So, okay, I have just a couple of technical questions before we get into more analysis. So there are two big parties in Britain, the Tories, the Conservatives, and Labour. There are some regional parties, like the Scottish National Party or Sinn Féin. I guess there's a Welsh party, and also Northern Ireland Protestant Party. You have the Liberal Democrats, which I guess are at least partially descended from the Liberal Party. Was Gladstone a Liberal back in the 1800s? Was that his party?
I don't know. I wasn't around in the 1800s, Patrick. Okay. I might be old, but I'm not that old.
Okay, I just wondering. But so one question, and then of course, then you had you have Reform, which was must have been running candidates in pretty much every constituency. Were they running?
Okay, I'll explain this. Before you go any further, I'll fill people in on what they need to know. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is made up of Northern Ireland, obviously, and Great Britain. And Great Britain is England, Scotland, and Wales. Now, there are 632 seats in mainland Britain, as in Great Britain, and there are 18 seats in Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland is pretty much its own thing. People do not vote Tory or Labour or Lib Dem over in Northern Ireland. People vote for sectarian parties, or what remains of those sectarian parties. So you will have the likes of Sinn Féin for the Irish Catholics, and you will have parties like the Democratic Unionist Party, the DUP, for what are left of the Protestant communities over there. Obviously, sectarianism isn't what it once was. The sectarian problem isn't as bad as it once was, but it still exists to some degree over there. And really, their sort of politics, Northern Ireland politics, is not applicable to the mainland. So this leaves you with 632 seats. Now, there are regional parties in Scotland and Wales. There's Plaid Cymru in Wales and the Scottish National Party in Scotland. Now, the Scottish National Party, out of those two parties, is the party that has had more significant success. And at one point, they dominated Scottish politics. However, that dominance has come to a crushing end after they handed all power to a man of Pakistani descent, who basically made a complete mess of things. And at that point, that pretty much brought all of that to an end. And you don't really, they went down from sort of having almost complete control of Scottish politics to having virtually no control in Scottish politics. They're that sort of fake anti-white, sort of pretending to be a nationalist party has now been completely crushed and isn't really a factor in, well, it is a factor in Scottish politics, but it's nowhere near the kind of factor in Scottish politics that it used to be. And because of that, you can see now that Labour have capitalised on that, because they've won back much of the ground that they lost in Scotland. And obviously, they are probably pretty happy with themselves. And that's something that helped them for doing that. And that's something that's obviously helped them with this particular majority that they now have. So that's pretty much the situation there. So if that's a building block that we can start from, we can move from there.
So, and then you got a couple of small parties. You have a Green Party that won with very few votes, but I guess they were concentrated in just a few constituencies. They won, what, four seats, almost as many as the Reform Party?
A Green Party, but when we call it is a Green Party in inverted commas, but it's an extremely left-wing organization. They call themselves the Greens, but they're not really Greens. People tend to refer to them as watermelons because they're green on the outside but red on the inside. So despite pretending to be green, they are one of the most pro-immigration parties. One of the most pro-immigration parties in Britain.
Okay, so I'm just trying to get a feel for. So I guess the Reform Party, they must have run candidates in almost every constituency
mainland sort of Great Britain constituency. It was their target, and that's 632 seats. They stood 618 seats. They won five and came second in, I believe, 83. But if we had a fair system, which would obviously be based on some sort of proportional representation, what would have actually happened is they would have got, I believe, 93 seats and would be a serious power. And obviously for them to outpoll the parties like mainstream parties, such as the Lib Dems, is absolutely fantastic. But then for them to get a fewer share of the seats tells you just how broken this is. And this is one of these fundamental issues with first-past-the-post politics.
And do you happen to know how many seats the Lib Dems had candidates standing for?
I believe that was the big 632. The Lib Dems will usually stand in every single seat.
Okay. All right. I was just curious about that. So now I did hear Nigel Farage sounding rather triumphant, right? You know, the exit polls that were released immediately, I guess, as the polls closed or as before they closed even, were projecting them winning 13 seats. And I suppose there was, you know, if they wound up only winning five, maybe there was eight seats where they were really close but didn't quite make it. But the fact of the matter is, isn't this like the eighth or ninth time that Nigel Farage has run for a seat in Parliament and the first time he's actually broken through? And that's now he's going to be in Parliament. He's going to have a bit of a posse. He's going to be able to have a little bit of question time, right? And now he's saying, okay, he's come for the Tories. Now, next time he's coming for the Liberals, or not the Liberals, the Labour. Is this a building block towards the next time around?
I think that's what he's hoping for. Now, this does show how inflexible and how difficult British parliamentary politics is. It does show that British parliamentary politics, you know, is a hard nut to crack. But five seats is nothing to sniff at. Now, no one else has managed that before. And that's something that's very important. No one else has managed this before. No one else has managed this breakthrough. UKIP, people say, oh, well, UKIP had two seats back in the day. Yada, yada, yada. UKIP, fantastic. You know, two seats. You know, what are you talking about, Mark? But that was very, very different. And it was very, very different because UKIP's two seats were Conservative Party seats, and these Conservatives had crossed the floor to go to UKIP, and then they got re-elected. But, you know, if you start as a Conservative and you then cross the floor, that is absolutely not the same as doing it the hard way, getting elected, you know, under your own steam. So this is something that is absolutely significant. And anyone that says it's not is lying. But equally, it does also show what a mountain small parties have to climb. Because despite Farage getting five people elected, which, as I said, is nothing to sniff at, and it does give him a building block, five people being elected will have no bearing on anything in Parliament in terms of how the country is run. And, you know, Farage had a lot going in his favour. You know, he's independently wealthy. He has won two national elections in the past, albeit European elections, for two different parties. So that makes him a bit of a record holder there. He's the longest serving European Member of Parliament, the longest serving MEP. And he's also legitimately a celebrity in his own right. And I know that shouldn't count for anything, but it absolutely does. You know, this guy went on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. He did very well. People like him. You know, he's not somebody who is an outsider. And this is a, you know, it's very interesting because this sort of shows you how hard it would be for a genuine nationalist party to break through that doesn't have the money, the power.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar, is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar, has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
And this is a, you know, it's very interesting because this sort of shows you how hard it would be for a genuine nationalist party to break through that doesn't have the money, the power, and the reach Farage has. Also, and this can't be sniffed at either, Nigel Farage does have a full-time, you know, television company working on his behalf, which is huge. So Farage has a channel called GB News, which is, you know, on Sky Television, and lots of people watch it, and that's sort of his own 24/7, you know, broadcasting arm, if you like, and that is something that gives him a huge advantage. So even with all these advantages that Farage has, even with the massive amount of media coverage he got, and even with his, you know, sizable personal wealth and standing in society, 5 seats was all they could manage. Now, as I said, that's still big and it's still a building block, but it does show you how tilted the playfield is in the favour of the mainstream parties.
Is there any chance that any of the remaining Tories, I guess they held on to 130 seats or so, and now they've got to go through a new leadership election, which may be very contentious, I don't know. Is there any chance that some of the Tories who are still in Parliament may cross the floor and join with Farage?
I think that is, there is a chance of it. There is a chance of it. But I don't know how likely that is. And the reason I don't know how likely it is because I think it would be something that at the moment they would, the Tories now are held on. They've held on. And that's the disappointment of this election. Because when this election was drawing close, I think everyone who's a nationalist in Britain was desperate for the Conservative Party to die, for the Conservative Party to be brought to a crashing end that was something that we all wanted to see. We all wanted to see the end of the Tory Party. But that hasn't happened. And instead, they have survived. And their survival means that going forward, they are not, I mean, you might have some splits, but you're not super likely to see another series of conservative splits. That would be unlikely at this point. It could happen later down the line. But the fact that I think that would have been likely to happen had the Conservatives not remained the official opposition, but they remain the official opposition. They have done that by a comfortable margin of 50 seats. It's not like they're 2 seats, you know, out, and just a couple of defections would cause them to slip from being the opposition. But the fact they're still the second major party does give credence to, you know, the fact that they will hold together. However, had that not happened and had they been closer to the favoured and fabled, you know, zero seat meme, I do think at that point you could well have started to see some form of, you know, major defections, which would have probably led to them, you know, splintering and becoming even smaller. But I don't think that's going to happen now.
Okay. And Jeremy Corbyn, who was the leader of the Labour Party until a few years ago, he was not allowed to stand for Parliament as a Labour candidate. But he won re-election in his jurisdiction as a independent, so he's still in Parliament as an independent. He's, with regards to this Israel-Gaza issue, he's pretty pro-Gaza, right? Pretty anti-Israel. And I think you had said before that, maybe a couple of weeks ago, that the main opposition to the Labour government might wind up being the Labour backbench, people who aren't in the cabinet, Muslims.
Yes.
So how's that? How might that shape up? And
well, that, you know, still might happen. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn was one of those sort of, you know, seats where Labour didn't get their own way. Now, Labour have tried to bring everyone back into the Zionist fold, and that hasn't worked. It didn't work. It didn't work with Corbyn. It hasn't worked with several other candidates. Sadly, George Galloway, he lost his seat, which is something I predicted. I knew George Galloway was going to lose his seat. That was pretty obvious. The writing was on the wall there for quite some time. But with Corbyn, that does show that there are people who used to vote Labour that are a little bit more principled. They are willing to potentially vote for an anti-Zionist, you know, pro-Palestinian option, and they have done with Corbyn. But let's be clear, that is one MP. That is one MP. That's not, again, that's not something that we should be sort of massively celebrating as like this huge win. I mean, that's just something that takes the sting of the election away a tiny bit. It's not something that would be significant at the moment, but it could be something that's significant in the future.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it, contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine, reduce your emissions, and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Like this huge win. I mean, that's just something that takes the sting of the election away a tiny bit. It's not something that will be significant at the moment, but it could be something that's significant in the future if there was some, you know, large split based around support for Israel within the Labour Party.
And how many Muslim Labour MPs are there?
I don't know. Now, this is the more interesting thing about this will be at local level, because all over the country, the Labour Party survives really off the back of local support from Muslim groups. That's just how it is. And I think that will be something that fundamentally we will see if it has some effect at the forthcoming elections, local elections, next year's local election, should I say. Next year's local elections will, you know, be a very, very, will be the acid test, really, should I say, for whether a lot of Muslims are willing to break away from Labour and their local support base collapses due to their support for the continued atrocities taking place in Gaza. But I don't know. I don't know whether that'll happen. Who knows? People tend to think that the Muslims will have sort of a more principled stand on things like that than, say, whites would. But who knows? I don't know. And that all of that is definitely yet to be seen. It's a huge unknown quantity.
Okay, and so the elections don't, next elections don't have to take place for 5 years. Sometimes elections get called early. It's hard. I don't know if there are any scenarios whereby Keir Starmer or whoever is prime minister would call elections early. But before we move over to France,
there's plenty of reasons why Starmer would call an election, you know, early. I mean, if Starmer, you know, having just come in, has a very, very successful first 4 years or first 3 years, it would be well within sort of the established remit of a prime minister to turn around and say, well, you know, we've had a good, you know, opening shot at this. How about we go early? How about, you know, we go early, and how about we get this wrapped up? You know, so you can go a maximum of 5 years. So really, with British general elections, and obviously a lot of people who don't live in Britain won't understand this, but I hope to explain it succinctly here, is with a British general election, it is down to the prime minister when it is called. It's not down to a fixed timescale. So I know, like with your presidential elections, there is absolutely a fixed timescale, and those elections are called every 4 years. It's, you know, it's the same date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas here in the UK, that's not how it works at all. It is the prime minister's privilege to call the election as he or she sees fit. So if Starmer wished to, he could go back to the polls in a week's time. Now, that doesn't happen very often. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes that happens in the case of, you know, a hung parliament, or if there isn't a sizable majority, or a government cannot be formed. But that is very rare. What usually happens now is, you know, this will go closer to 5 years than, you know, most. And it would probably come at a time when it is most convenient for Starmer. You know, it's his privilege to pick the date of the next election. Mm. But I would say with a sizable majority like this, it would be something I believe that Starmer would want to do towards the end of, you know, between 4 and 5 years.
Yeah, because honestly, what are the odds of him doing a good job and wanting to get the stamp of approval in 2 or 3 years? What are the odds of him actually improving things?
I don't know. I mean, there's always the chance of that. I'm not just saying this, but there is always the chance that something goes, you know, something often does from time to time go right for an established party, just the way it is. You know, things do go right from time to time. And, you know, if something's going very right, so say after 3 years, you know, people were saying, well, look, you know, post the Conservative Party's collapse, there's actually been, you know, a load of stuff come out about them, and people are disgusted, and, you know, their star has fallen even further. At that point, there could always be, you know, a chance that the Labour Party would say, hey, look, you know, why don't we go super early? But that would be something that doesn't happen very often. I would say it would be around somewhere between the 4 to 5 year mark, based on what I would say is, you know, established norms. And it would be very, very odd for it to come much earlier, unless, as I said, something truly, truly crazy did happen. But I wouldn't be counting on something like that.
Okay, so let's move on to France. So we had a first round where the top vote getter was Marine Le Pen's party, the National Rally, and then this left wing alliance of many parties, socialists, communists, greens, all sorts of parties, were cobbled together in a very unwieldy alliance that came in second in terms of votes. And then Macron's party came in third with like only like a little over 20%. I guess marrying the band was somewhere in the mid-30s. I think maybe she was 36%. Maybe it was like 36%, 29%, 21%, something like that. And that was the first round. And if you didn't get absolute majority in the first round, then there was a second round that would at least have the first two candidates, but in many cases would have the third place candidate as well. And what during the past week, the Macron's party and the this leftist coalition made electoral deals that whoever was in third place would bow out of the second round and endorse the other party. And this worked. And so even though in the second round you had pretty much the same vote totals, you really wound up with pretty much the same vote totals, but they were distributed in such a way that the leftist coalition got the most seats, Macron's got the second most seats, and Le Pen, whose party had won the most votes in both the first and second round, only got the third most seats.
It's a scam. And again, this proves again what I've been saying. Western liberal democracy doesn't work. It's been fashioned in a way as to prevent popular parties that the system doesn't like from getting to power. And this is exactly what's happened in France. You know, you've got a situation which is deeply unfair that you're rightfully angry about, but this is what they call democracy. And this has allowed this, you know, essentially a communist party to come to power in France. And you know, that is going to be something which produces serious problems for indigenous people over the coming years. Because if you look at how the French people voted, it becomes pretty immediately clear that the French people voted for white. When I say French people, I mean genuine French people, white people in France voted overwhelmingly for Marine Le Pen. So some sort of 60% of white voters voted for Marine Le Pen. It is the ethnic minority groups that prevented Marine, you know, if this was still white France and only, you know, white people's votes counted, Marine Le Pen would now be in power. She isn't in power because of the migrant vote and the, you know, people who aren't ethnically French voting against this. And this goes to show that we're in a bit of a mess because our elections are being decided by people who, you know, aren't of our stock. Now, this is going to make, or this is going to present an even larger problem, even a larger problem further down the line. Because by the time we come to another French general election, these communists are going to have brought in more anti-white policy making, more migrants. They will have empowered existing migrants to, become more politicized, have more power in society. And this is going to be bad. And we've seen this here in the UK. So in 2006, the BNP went from nowhere to having being the official opposition in Barking and Dagenham, on the Barking and Dagenham Council. They went from zero councillors to 12, and that put them in the position where they weren't anywhere near controlling the council, but they were the official opposition. And 4 years later, every single one of those councillors lost their seats because the powers that be concentrated a huge force against them. So what's happened next? Well, what happens next is once the BNP councillors were voted off the council, the local authorities then, who had consolidated their power, swamped the area with non-white migrants. Now, that led to a position where Barking and Dagenham changed to such a degree that even if the BNP had come back in another 4 years to go for another swing at the council, they wouldn't have had a chance. Because everything had changed to such an incredible degree because of the way that, just because of the way that the authorities had brought in all these migrants. And I think that's what they're going to do in France. That's what these communists will do in France. It's going to ensure that even though the conditions on paper will be more favourable to Marine Le Pen in the future, they're only going to get more favourable for the likes of Marine Le Pen. But despite those conditions getting more favourable, the electorate over time will become ever more non-white, and that is going to present a blockade to her gaining power. And I know the Front National does have non-white voters. I know the Front National is not an ethno-nationalist party, so to speak, and it does have a policy of if you love France and if you love the flag, etc., you know, they take you on board, which is all well and good. You know, in the UK, it would be illegal to have a political party that was just for whites, and I'm not suggesting, you know, that would be a route that anyone should attempt to take. But it is interesting that now this party has come to power in France, it is likely that that becomes a greater blockade to change, and we will essentially see much, much greater moves by the French state to accelerate the white replacement scheme to make sure that they don't get another scare, as they just have with Marine Le Pen. And something else that we must note is that there was more proportional, or there used to be more proportional representation elections in France, but that was changed when Marine Le Pen's father, Jean-Marie Le Pen, began making headway and getting, you know, numerous seats in French Parliament. So, you know, once the powers that be saw that proportional representation and a fair voting system was allowing people like Jean-Marie Le Pen to have a say in the way the country was run, albeit a limited say, they changed things. And now we have this situation in France where it comes very, very clear that the indigenous people are being cheated out of taking their destiny into their own hands, and they are in a very, very difficult position. And the first policies coming out of France from this, you know, very, very hard left communist government is that there is going to be a 90% tax rate being set to fund all this. Well, they're going to be taking 90% tax. That's going to be coming from white people, isn't it? Or white people who have a little bit of a stake in society. And then who's that going to be going to? Well, that will then be redistributed, no doubt, to migrants who are being brought here or used to pay for incentives for more migrants to be brought here. What do you do? Well, people have, you know, done their best. And, you know, I'll still say it's a good thing that Marine Le Pen has got where she's got. But is it too little, too late? Time will tell. Obviously, I wish her all the best, and I don't want to black pill anyone, but it is an interesting situation to look at, and it's an interesting situation when, you know, demographics have changed to such a degree that the indigenous people of different European countries can no longer affect the votes in their own nations.
So, regarding this election that just transpired, no party actually won anywhere near a majority, and this leftist Front Populaire, the Popular Front, which is amalgamation of a lot of groups, that including the old French Communist Party, the old French Socialist Party. And by the way, back in the day, the old French Communist Party was anti-immigration, back when it was run by Georges Marchais, you know, 40 years ago. But you know, some of the parties are pro-Ukraine, some are pro-Russian, some are more Zionist, some are more pro-Palestinian, some are more hardcore redistribution, others are more, what do you call it, you know, globalist. So it's, there's a question, even though they emerged as the largest party, they don't have a majority. And they don't seem, at this point, would they, I, as far as I know, they're not inclined to go into coalition with another party. It would require other parties to vote for them, vote for their prime minister in order to form even a minority government. So there's probably going to be like some turbulence and uncertainty for the time being in French politics. But one thing is my understanding is new elections cannot be held for another year. Even if they can't really form a government, they've just got to try to cobble together something. So I don't know. I think we're going to be...
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC.
417-932-6419.
New elections cannot be held for another year. Even if they can't really form a government, they've just got to try to cobble together something. So I don't know. I think we're going to be there may be a lot of chaos. And
I think French elections can be called early. I think it's a similar situation to what it is in the UK. That's why we just had this snap election, because in France they can go early. So if this didn't work out, I believe there could be another snap election called, that could, you know, they could have a do-over in France. So yeah. Macron used his privilege.
I don't know personally, but I'm just repeating Alexander Mercuris, who said for whatever reason they have to wait a year. Maybe he's got it wrong. I can't.
Okay, what it might be, and bear with me on this, what it might be is that you might have to wait a year, then you can call it. But there is a privileged position for heads of state. So Macron called a snap election following the European election results because he felt he no longer had a sufficient mandate based on the fact that Marine Le Pen had done so well at those European elections. So I do think there are certain things at play here, but there might be something like you can call it, but you have to give it at least a year between elections before you call it, so you don't end up with just some mad situation where, you know, you're going into almost sort of machine gun elections, if you like.
Yeah, which is what they've had in Israel, for instance. They have had machine gun elections, I think 5 elections in 4 years or something like that. Well, we'll see. So, but we're pretty much at the end of our time today. What do you have on your own channels this week?
Well, I've got a couple of things. People might not immediately be drawn to this, but I did a 2-hour stream on Sunday night. Every month we have a gaming stream, which is actually getting pretty good views. It's an Odyssey exclusive. And we did the gaming stream all about the election results. So if you fancy watching me lose my temper with my friends as we talk for 2 hours about the broken electoral system, that stream is there on Odyssey. And if you're a younger person and you're also into gaming, well, that might please you quite a lot. I've also got a stream coming up on Wednesday, Patriotic Weekly Review, which is all politics and social issues, etc. And that's with Morgoth. And we're going to be doing an in-depth electoral breakdown there. So basically, there's one... it's not that the gaming stream isn't serious. It's just it's meant to be more lighthearted. But it was 2 hours of pure, talk about electoral politics and the broken nature of the electoral system. So if people like that, check it out. And also, I did a 2-hour long form lecture, a month ago, called "Is the Electoral Route a Dead End?" And that's a particularly interesting stream because I lay out how and why the first past the post system in Britain is so broken.
Okay, well, that sounds like good education for people. So I want to thank you for joining me and for putting up with my last minute schedule changes.
Yes, thank you, Patrick. I'll be here next week, hopefully at the usual time.
But we'll make sure of it. And I'll be back again tomorrow for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the